Hearing is ordinance 19-6, an ordinance to amend chapter 115, article 4, section 115-25 of the Code of Sussex County regarding cluster subdivisions.
So what this is doing in the proposed ordinance change is currently there is two paths you can take for a cluster subdivision. You can do what you typically see is their standard cluster subdivision, or you can actually go through the superior design criteria cluster subdivision, which is an option and is voluntary. And at that point, it would standardize what certain open space are, other setbacks, preservation of other items if you're adjacent to farmland or if you have older woodland. So it takes all of that into consideration. It requires a yield plan. And right now, that's a voluntary process. This ordinance would actually remove that it'd be a voluntary process, and that just would become a requirement that it would establish criteria for superior design. I think you hear all the time that this is a superior design cluster subdivision, but it's not actually going through what the zoning code has stated. This is what the criteria of the superior design are. So this would actually create that standard for superior design and require that it go through that process.
I'll give some history on this. So the cluster ordinance was initially adopted in the early 2000s. It was required by the comp plan a couple plans ago. It shrunk the size of the lots, and the idea was that there would be more contiguous areas of open space, and you'd come out with a better subdivision design than what you get with a standard 3/4 acre lot subdivision or 20,000 square foot subdivision, and in the initial draft of that ordinance, that was what was expected, and it just sort of said you have to have a superior design, but it didn't give any criteria to what superior design meant. Mr. Wheatley was here at that time on the commission, and Mr. Gordy was here. Actually, Mr. Burton was here on the commission at that point. And there was concern about that because there wasn't any standards on what it meant to be superior. It's like, well, you thought it was superior, you maybe didn't think it was. Everybody had their own opinion what superior was. And they were coming along with subdivisions that, you know, just there was as many lots as could be put on it, frankly, and there wasn't a great deal designed to make it a better or more open space or more usable open space. I remember Mr. Gordy, you know, his thought, and I've said this a bunch of times, is essentially you'd have, my pen worked, a subdivision. It was a rectangle. The cluster would let you put all the lots over here in a good design. You'd get the same number of lots, but it would preserve, if this was forest, you'd keep the forest. Or even, there was even talk about, you know, if that was agricultural use, you could lease it out and keep it, you know, tilled or whatever. But, you know, it would be putting all the lots in one place and keeping all the open space in another, you know, and that was the design of it. But it wasn't coming out that way, and the commission wanted to address that. So there was an ordinance, it was number 2024, that came through. And the Planning and Zoning Commission, and what it did was, it flipped things on its head or around. It tried to make it so that you were looking at a piece of property as you're designing your subdivision. You're saying, okay, what do we need to look at first as being an area that should remain open space, whether it be trees or whether it be it's next to a park or whether it's next to water or whatever. You kind of look at, all right, what are we going to try to design around first, and then you get to the end of it and you look at the lots. What we're seeing is, all right, I'm going to get 2 units an acre, I'm going to design it that way, and then I'm going to design the open space around it. It sort of turned that around, so you were designing it based on what's a good design first, not how many lots you get. It went through P&Z with that as a requirement, that you had to do that, you had to have the yield plan. You had to design it with these specific superiority requirements. I went back and pulled the minutes. It was interesting. Nobody really showed up on it. Center for the Inland Bays did, but I found it interesting that Gary Couples, who at that point was a real active engineer around here with Environmental Consultants International, he showed up and supported it. he thought it was a good idea to have the yield plan requirements and the superiority requirements. It got to the point of the vote, and it was voted on unanimously to make that a requirement of the code. And then it got to county council, and at the last minute at county council, there was a lot of discussion about it, and council made it optional. So it created two paths, kept it the way it was, and then kept the requirement of the yield plan with the superior design requirements as an option, the option being that you get expedited treatment at that point. There was a two-year waiting list, so that really meant something. However, nobody did it. We didn't have one come through with superior design with the yield plan at all. The only one we had was the one we had about six weeks ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. You recall that one was done originally with the yield plan, and it preserved the forested area in the back, and they voluntarily chose to do that. And then they came back in and said, well, we didn't need to do that. We want to put lots in that forested area. You know, so that gives you an idea exactly what this ordinance was designed to address. You know, it was just to come out with a better designed subdivision. What this ordinance does is take it back exactly to what planning and zoning approved in November of 2008, makes it required. The only other thing it does is it says it's required, and if you do go a cluster subdivision with this, with these requirements, all cluster subdivisions are expedited, which means if you're just a standard subdivision, you know, you're in the normal course. If you go the cluster subdivision, you got to comply with this, but you do get expedited in the order. That was one of the things the council wanted in it. So right now that doesn't mean much because we're 6 to 8 months out, and by the time you get through advertising and plus, you're still at 6 to 8 months, but at some point that might help.
Could mean something later, but essentially this is what we proposed and this body proposed and passed 11 years ago.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's
exactly the same thing. It's just that the council didn't.
That's why when you look at this, it's a two-page ordinance because all this stuff is already in the code. You know, we're not writing any new code. We're just saying you have to do it. It's not a choice anymore.
So based on this, we will get more plans like the one that came in 6 weeks ago before the 6 week
came in.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we would have more usable open space. We would have more corridors that wildlife could get through. We would have more trees, more green, more and just put all those awful people all in one spot. Okay.
Well, you don't have to put them all in one spot, but it's designed so that they're not spread out over the whole place.
Come on, you know.
They're not all awful. Yeah.
The Jersey side of the plant. We're all going on the Jersey side.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We've just gotten this night is degrading. I'm
excited about this concept because this is the kind of thing that I've been hoping to see more of all the time.
And Mr. Wheatley summarized it best. I could have said that all in one sentence. All this does is put it back to what the commission approved in November of 2008.
Yeah. Makes sense to stream
it. Scott had to be there to know.
But I appreciate you going through this because I just wanted to make sure that this is what we were looking at, because apparently I'm easy to hoodwink. So,
well, I'll be the first one to acknowledge that county council perhaps has considerations that we don't necessarily have, but you know, we have always tried to pass good ordinances up to them, and then what happens to them after that we can't control. And this was just a situation where something. Making something optional was essentially just negating it. You just said nobody has to do this. Well, okay. Well, then nobody did it because nobody had to. Now I think with this, and I don't think it's going to be extremely. It's not. I don't think it's going to affect density to any great degree. These guys are just going to need to provide superior design, and there's the list. There's what superior design is.
That's a good point. I know we've heard from representatives of applicants. They say just tell us what the rules are, and we'll follow the rules. And that's what this does. It really sets it out, so you know what you're doing.
I think that's it. They just want to know what it is they have to do.
So we need a motion.
Yeah, well, we're going to see if there's anybody here from the public.
Oh, well, first I want to put on the record that I said that awful people part sarcastically, so. Future generations reading this will be like, who is this?
Well, yeah, like when I went back to the 2008 minutes, you know, and then whatever, 2028, I'm like, Miss Davidson.
Exactly. I've read through some of the old minutes before, too.
Any other, before we take public testimony, anyone else in the commission want to speak or have a question or anything?
Great idea.
This is a must.
Okay. Is there anyone here that has an interest in ordinance 19-6? Yes, sir. Step right up.
I approach.
You may. You may.
Wow, I wasn't expecting this.
My name is Rich Barrasso. I'm with the Sussex Alliance for the Responsible Growth, or better known as SARGE. Mr. Chairman, Commission, County staff, thank you for the opportunity. The purpose this evening is to share input from the public relative to the proposed change to the cluster ordinance. About 10 days ago, we published a survey that we sent out to the public. And I'm not going to do as good a job as Councillor did in explaining how this all came about. However, I want to assure you that in the survey, wanted to make sure the public understood what it was about. So we used a lot of the information that Councillor Robertson had provided in the writing of the amendment. But a couple points here I want to make sure as it relates to the purpose of the survey. We in addition to explaining what it was all about, we also published the link that enabled the public to take a look at what the original ordinance was, and we published the link to take a look at what the proposed ordinance would be. SARGE, in our efforts, promised the public that we would attend all public hearings regarding this, and that we would report the results of the survey to the commissioners, the council members, and also back to the public. The survey now has only 4 questions, and that it would take less than 5 minutes for the public to fill out. It is completely anonymous. No personally identifiable information is collected, and all the responses are used only in the aggregate. If you take a look at those 4 questions, question number 1, do you agree or disagree that the use of superior design standards should be made mandatory in all cluster subdivisions? So to date, we've had 292 people respond. Of the 292 people, 272 agree that it should be made mandatory. There were 20 people who did not agree. So in question number 2, please tell us why you agree with the amendment. 204 comments came back. I'm not going to read you all 204. However, earlier this afternoon, I had sent to Janelle a copy for the record of all 204 comments of people who agreed. I'll just touch upon a couple here. One person said it vastly improves the quality of life in the proposed subdivision by adding buffers where needed and incorporating walking trails and sidewalks. Kind of sounds familiar, Kim, to your earlier comments. Another person said that mandatory use of the superior design standards has several benefits. They are to preserve and maintain personal property values and keep Sussex County from losing its small town charm, which will maintain tourism interest in value, as long as they're not coming from New Jersey. I'm teasing.
We welcome everybody.
I do not discriminate. No. For the record, I imported my husband from New Jersey.
New Jersey is not a protected class. However, we don't discriminate against anyone, including New Jerseyans.
Is that even a word, New Jerseyans?
That making superior design standards mandatory will ensure that the cluster developments will be significantly more environmentally friendly. Development is going to happen. It's about making smart development regulations such as requiring for superior design. So in question number 3, which was please tell us why you disagree with this amendment. Now, this was really interesting. There were 82 comments that came back. 3 of those comments were design flexibility allows builders to meet the demands of the marketplace. Rigid regulations inhibit innovation, responsiveness to home buyers' desires. It limits landowners from getting the true value of their land. And regardless if I agree or disagree, it still depends on the builder to do the right thing and the county to verify that the right thing is being performed. Failure to either to do their jobs results in no one winning. Now, what's interesting is the remaining 97 comments had to do with the fact they didn't like either amendment. They wanted no, they didn't like either cluster option. They didn't want a cluster option. They wanted the whole thing to go away. So out of 272 comments that came back, three dealt with why the cluster ordinance should remain the way it is. The balance of the comments said, let's change it or do away with it altogether. If you take a look at the distribution, so where are these people? Where do they live? So of the 286 respondents, on the right-hand side, you can see the numbers that came from the respective districts. Big turnout, District 3 and District 5. So going forward, and in summary, a couple observations. The public is knowledgeable about the topic and they're engaged. I think the county is to be credited for the proposed amendment because it's consistent and in alignment with the strategies in the recently completed 2018 comprehensive plan. And the strategies in the comprehensive plan stated there was a need to improve the cluster development ordinance. One of the strategies was to strengthen county development regulation to ensure that open space dedicated by developers contains contiguous open space. The strategy was to revisit county code to determine if modifications are needed to open space requirements to promote less fragmentation of open space. Reevaluate county code definition of open space, determine if modifications need to be made relating to the calculation of open space. And finally, strengthen county development regulations to ensure that open space dedicated by developers contains, again, continuous space. Now, the survey is still out there, and it will run up until 2 weeks prior to the council hearing. So I assume we'll probably have 400 to 500 in total, another couple hundred responses that are coming in. As we had promised the public, we'll gather that information, we'll share it with council, and we'll share it with the public. And again, Sarge aims to live up to our motto, which is to inform, to educate, and engage the public. And the comprehensive plan gave us an opportunity to do that. We look at the comprehensive plan as a gift to the county, but it also comes with it a lot of responsibility and a lot of accountability. And our goal is to ensure that the county residents are getting their money's worth. Real quick question, I'm assuming that the earlier hearing on the subdivision over Brook Meadows West, mm-hmm. I'm assuming that wasn't a superior design.
I don't think it was submitted under that.
It was
submitted as a cluster subdivision, but it went in an ESDDOZ subdivision. Okay.
And the subdivision that was on the east side of that, Overbrook Meadows,
wasn't a
superior design either.
No, there's two separate. I mean, I was thinking this wasn't a relevant question, but it kind of is. There's, you know, we talk about cluster subdivisions, and there's really two different types. There's one that's in the environment under the old plan, the environmentally sensitive developing area, soon to be the coastal area. That you can go down to 7,500 square feet in those areas without showing the superior design. That's more or less by right. That's something probably council's going to want to look at as we get into more comp plan ordinances. That's separate from what we're talking about here. Here, if you're basically anywhere besides environmentally sensitive developing area, you have to show that superiority requirement. So that's what I'm saying. There's, for example, that one, because it was in the ESDA,
right,
did not need to show superiority.
Okay.
And that's not going to change?
Not by this ordinance.
This ordinance doesn't do that.
Yeah. But most of the ones.
I didn't understand that. Thank you.
I'm glad that got, thank you.
You see a lot that are not in the coastal area or the ESDA.
And now that the land use plan is, has been signed off and it's, it is now what we're doing and, what, and the yardstick that we're using, there will be a lot of ordinance work done now to make, I mean, hopefully there will be, I'm sure there will be a lot of ordinance work done to conform to the plan.
Well, and I understand we've got plenty of plans already in the pipeline that have nothing, you know.
Well, yeah, and I, there's not much we can do about that. If they got in the pipeline before, you know, before the land use plan was approved and before any of this was done, it, they are what they are, but we got to start somewhere. We're 11 years behind.
Well, we hope that in the future, if there are similar type ordinance considerations, that you utilize SARGE to pull the public and get feedback for your respective areas.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed. Yep. Thank you.
Appreciate your time and effort.
Yep. Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
Good evening. My name is Michelle Schmidt. I'm representing the Delaware Center for Inland Bays. Of course, we're going to come and support this if we supported it the first time around.
You have aged a bit, by the way.
I won't tell you where I was in 2008.
What, the eighth grade?
I was 11th grade, yeah, in high school.
That was close, wasn't
it? I probably don't need to read you my first paragraph, but because it's 9 o'clock, I'm just going to read this to you. So, again, I'm with the Center for the Inland Bays. We are a private nonprofit organization, and we oversee the wise use and enhancement of the Inland Bays. Since 1994, we have worked in partnership with the county, the state of Delaware, municipalities, businesses, and universities to implement a comprehensive conservation and management plan to protect and restore the water bodies that are so important to Sussex County's $7 billion coastal economy. The plan, to which the county is signatory, lays out the actions necessary to improve water quality in the bays and to protect the important natural habitats. This proposed ordinance would make implementing the superior design criteria currently contained in ordinance number 2024 mandatory for new cluster subdivisions. This change would provide for important environmental protections and is consistent with the coordinated land and water use decisions focus area of the Inland Bays Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan. Therefore, of course, the center encourages its adoption. This proposed ordinance would help protect the ecologically sensitive wetlands and waterways such as those of the Inland Bays by clustering homes on the environmentally suitable portions of the tract in areas that have the least impact on natural features such as wetlands, mature woodlands, and waterways. Additionally, this proposed ordinance encourages the creation of open space, which we've talked about quite frequently this evening, which is critical for providing both outdoor recreation opportunities and sanctuaries for wildlife in otherwise developed areas. Development in the Inland Bays watershed in Sussex County as a whole has been occurring at a rapid pace. Because of the disturbances caused by rapid development, wetlands and their beneficial functions in the Inland Bays watershed have declined greatly over time and are overall in poor condition. The rapid increase in development affects not only salt marshes, but also replaces farmland and open natural areas, jeopardizing the health of wetlands and waterways, and it also exacerbates some of the flooding issues that we've seen recently. So by requiring new cluster subdivisions to implement the superior design criteria, again, such as open space, requiring a setback around wetlands, implementing better stormwater management techniques, and maintaining scenic views can help alleviate some of the growing pains the county is experiencing from such rapid growth while simultaneously providing many benefits to those who call this county home. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you like a copy of this?
Yes.
I only printed 5 copies.
That's fine. That's okay. As long as the staff has one, we're fine.
Yeah, I'll make sure
Thank
it gets
you.
In the minutes.
Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
My name is Jeanette Actor. I live in suburban Selbyville. I appreciate this opportunity to speak to you tonight in favor of supporting this ordinance before you. In the interest of time, let me just say I agree with all the comments that you've heard previously in favor of this, so I'm not going to repeat at least all 204 plus. However, my main point is that this ordinance would actually give planning and zoning a good tool, which it sometimes lacks now, to use in carrying out its responsibility to apply reasoned guidance in land use decisions for the benefit of all. How often have we heard planning and zoning members express frustration that you lack much leeway for actually affecting how developments are carried out? This ordinance provides you muscle to actually guide development towards superior design and preserve significant tracts of open space. At the same time, I believe that consistent application of this ordinance would not interfere with the predictability that developers and landowners want. I would only add that I hope the next proposal for an ordinance that you see will be to include the coastal zone in this type of ordinance. If anywhere it's needed there. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? For, against, or just in it? Yes, come on up, sir. Yeah.
Hello, my name is Jim Erickson. I'm a professionally licensed civil engineer in the state of Delaware and a resident in Delaware as well. I'm here to speak in opposition to this ordinance. So this ordinance appears to be a simple concept. Basically, you know, you're trying to determine exactly what a superior design is and establish criteria to meet that. Unfortunately, once you kind of get it past the surface, it does present quite a few issues. Like Mr. Robertson said, it is entirely subjective, although this gives consideration to certain criteria. The term superior design implies subjectivity. In Sussex County, most residential neighborhoods, whether they consist of single-family lots or whatever the dwelling types and whatever the underlying zoning is, you know, they do provide a ton of amenities, more so than I've seen in many, many other areas in the country. This is an incredibly competitive market where communities that do lack these amenities and extras will result in having marketing and sales difficulty when they go to sell the units. Clubhouses, pools, walking trails, gyms, athletic courts, active open space, parks. I mean, these are things that are in virtually every community that's brought before you nowadays. In many ways, the market dictates that this superior design to some extent is required. Now, that being said, I can't sit here and say that every plan in front of you is genuinely superior design. But the area is fortunate to have many developments that I would consider to be superiorly designed and embody what I consider to be a superior design. I know that many agree with this, and the reason for that is because in 2018, the National Association of Home Builders awarded two communities in Sussex County their Best in American Living Awards. One community won Community of the Year, as well as Best Mixed-Use Community, and another one for Best Single-Family Community for 100 units or more. Now, this is a national competition. It had seven categories, four communities that could be awarded. Two of these categories came from Sussex County and won. I mean, that's pretty impressive. It shows that superior development is going on in the county. Now, being fair, both of these communities were not cluster subdivisions. One did feature mixed use, and the other one was a more dense RPC. But I stated earlier, you know, in order to compete with these types of developments, you do need to provide similar amenities regardless of what the underlying zoning is. So it's also important to note in that is that they did have higher densities, and with the higher density, they still were able to provide a superior design. So from a developer's perspective, when you have less density in a community, it's more difficult to provide an exceptional community amenities because they add substantial costs to the project, as well as increased HOA fees and many other items. This ordinance, because of the yield plan, would likely lower density at least to some extent, more so on some projects depending upon the specifics, but to some extent it likely would in general lower the density. This reduced density would lead to increased sprawl. It would lead to increased traffic, as increased sprawl increases traffic, increased costly infrastructure projects, increased pollution, as well as increased costs for the end users. Sprawl costs the average American citizen $5,000 a year. So getting back to the specifics of the ordinance, in addition to the yield plan, the open space criteria, basically it's dictating to me when I design the plan where I can or cannot put certain types of open space. That's not going to be in the best interest of the overall plan all the time. If you say it has to be over here, but the flow of the plan and the way the community wants to live isn't dictating that, it's just going to be dead space provided over there. In addition to that, one thing I did want to point out is that there is a requirement for a 25-foot setback from non-tidal wetlands included in this.
That's in the code now, just so we're clear. That's not a new requirement.
It's not new.
From non-tidal?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's been in there since 2008.
Mm-hmm. And that's required to go through?
It's in the code right now. It's in 115.25F.
Yeah, there's actually nothing being added to the code.
Not one word. We're taking out words.
But that was in the section that you now have to go through where you would have to volunteer
before.
Right. But my point is that you wouldn't have to comply with that previously unless you went through that process.
That's true, yes.
Right, and that's my point. You know, one thing just to keep in mind with that 25-foot setback is that there is a group currently working on wetland buffer requirements. They're actively discussing and working together to try to come up with criteria for wetland buffers, to get adequate buffers, determine what types of wetlands, define actually what, you know, perennial streams are and all the other definitions coinciding with wetlands are. And by going through this way and approving this ordinance, you'd basically just be chopping off all discussions and all hard work that they've been doing.
Why is that? If it's already in the code, it would have to be adjusted regardless of what this ordinance does, though. Because I've heard that. I don't get the logic of that. If it's in the code.
Because now it's going to be a setback now.
It is a setback now.
It's a setback now when you go through this process, but now I'm being forced to go through the process, whereas before I didn't have to.
Right, but we'd have to change that code section regardless as a result of
but
that working group.
But this setback is not in that code section. This is in the one that's currently being revised.
No, it's in the code right now.
It's going to be mandatory.
It's going to be mandatory. It's not going to be optional. But just the way you're saying that, it just sounded like there was something new that's being completely differently added to the code.
Right.
This working group is going to have to address that code provision, whether this ordinance happens or not.
Correct. But this ordinance has a separate section than what they're addressing, correct? Because that 20-foot setback or 25-foot setback is not in the same part as the definitions of the wetland buffers. This is a 25-foot setback separate.
That's right, and we know that with that working group, we're going to have to go through all the code because there's new definitions that are going to affect all of Chapter 99 and Chapter 115. So, I mean, that's happening regardless. So,
right. As long as that's accounted for, I mean, it's a concern just because.
Right. Oh, no, absolutely.
It's
no,
a lot of work, obviously.
I guess my point being is that that's sort of a neutral issue only because we know with that working group that there's probably at least 15, maybe 20 parts of the subdivision code, Chapter 99 and Chapter 115, that we're going to have to go back through to make sure it all matches up anyway.
Right.
So since that section's in code now, whether voluntary or mandatory, that's one of the ones we're going to have to go back and make sure it matches up regardless. So I get what you're saying. To me, it just seems like it's a neutral one because it's going to have to be addressed
sure.
No matter what. I mean, we're aware of that.
Well, I'm just bringing it up to make sure it is addressed.
Sure. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
But you know, in relation to that setback as well, when you're doing a yield plan, and again, this is because you normally not have to go through this path, but when you do that yield plan, that's also going to impact, as it is now, obviously it's going to be addressed with the wetlands group, but it would impact the yield plans and greatly reduce density on some sites. So.
Well, I don't know about that, because the yield plan wouldn't require the 25-foot setback. You do the yield plan, and then you design it, and you include
that's
the 25-foot setback.
So there's no setbacks whatsoever on the yield plan? Because I know you have to include the tidal waters.
That's what you count, but not the setbacks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
the, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I got it.
Where do you practice?
I'm a partner at Solutions IPM.
Are you?
Okay. Yes. So.
Okay.
But
no, anyways, good discussion.
That's all I got.
Yeah,
so
it's good stuff.
If you guys
about.
Don't have any more questions.
No, I don't think so.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else like to speak on Ordinance 19-6? Okay, anybody on the commission have any questions or comments? All right, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening and see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning, and that completes our public hearings for